So yeah, I mean, that was a lot. And eventually I was on short-term disability at work, I think for 6 weeks. So yeah. I needed every last bit of it. But it, eventually I did get better and was able to sort of get back to full strength. The doctor left me with several very important instructions that I, you know, keep to this day. One, she told me that I will, whenever I get pregnant, I have to have a C-section. She said I could never deliver naturally. And if any doctor tried to make me, I needed to run screaming from the door. And she actually said that. She's like, you need to run screaming from that office. Because oh, she said, because of the stitches in my uterus, having contractions could literally burst my uterus and cause immediate death to myself and the baby.
Yeah, I remember the doctor giving you that advice. And what was crazy is that, you know, kind of skipping forward after all of this, we're going to quickly fast forward how as soon as you pretty much recovered about a month later, I put a ring on your finger. We get married.
We didn't get married that quick.
Not that quick. I said yeah. 11 months later. Yeah, I was given the timeline. 11 months later. And this, when going to when you were actually pregnant, I don't know, do you want to tell the story about how we found out, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, let me finish the story about the three things they told me. So she said she said no vaginal birth. She said you have to wait at least 6 months before you get pregnant because your uterus needs to heal. And she said, stay on top of all of your appointments. John Hopkins wanted me to have, you know, tests every 6 months where they put this, I'm blanking on the name of the actual test, but basically they put the liquid through your fallopian tubes to test if they're blocked or not.
Oh, this
the is dye. It's a little bit of foreshadowing, gosh. But when they did it, one was clear and one was not. And she said, that's something I would need to do for the rest of my life. Granted, not every institution is John Hopkins, so no other doctor did that beyond that. But anyways, moving on to, they said, our wedding, which was about
a year, 13 months later.
Yeah, 13 months after that surgery, we had a destination wedding. And, 3 months before that, we had decided to get off birth control because I figured in my mind, I just assumed I was going to have a hard time getting pregnant. All of these challenges, I was already mentally prepared that it was going to take us a while. Right. So I said, let me just get off birth control, you know, get it out of my system. First of all, that's an old wives' tale. Just don't get it off of your system. If you stop taking birth control.
It could happen.
That could happen. So that was also an old wives' tale. We started taking all these supplements. I had him on all these supplements. I was like, vitamin C, zinc.
Take this pill. Wait, did you take your zinc? Did you take your vitamin C?
I was on, you know, we were taking all of our like vitamins and supplements. And, you know, my body was like a cleansing temple, mostly because I wanted to just look awesome in my dress. So I was eating all these vegetable juices and like so clean eating. Like we were doing so good.
Yeah, we were working out.
Yeah.
Doing our
we were so healthy.
Right. Doing rehearsals for our wedding dance.
Right. We were so healthy. And I missed my period the week before the wedding, but once again, it not anything I'm paying attention to because I'm getting married. I'm highly stressed. I don't love planning detailed parties, and not only I'm planning a detailed party, but I'm also having to deal with people asking me about their reservation. So I'm just like stressed. So I just chalk it up to stress. So, you know, we get to Jamaica, have this beautiful wedding with our family and friends.
Lots of fun.
And by the way, we're at an all-inclusive resort. So we're like drinking our faces off. And, you know, there's a couple of signs that as a smart person, I'm like completely missing, right? So like our rehearsal dinner, I'm just like super exhausted and feel like extremely nauseous.
Right.
And once again, I'm just like, man, I'm so stressed out. I'm not feeling well to the point of I have to leave the rehearsal dinner. Like I just feel so awful. And no one seems to think this is weird, least of all me. because I'm usually like a I'll stick it out kind of person. So right. I don't know why I didn't catch on and why anyone else didn't catch. I think Rich was probably the only one probably paying attention to any of these signs, but I clearly wasn't.
Yeah. Then, yeah, the night before, everybody's partying and she's just in the room. It's like, okay, she's just stressed out. She's got to take care of things. No worries. It's, right. She's the bride. It's her day. It's going to be mostly about her, 90% about her, 10% about me.
Yeah.
So, and then we go through the wedding. Everything is fine. We all have fun. We're up partying until 3 o'clock in the morning. Then the day after that, we're late on the beach, still drinking, eating lobster and jerk chicken and on the beach and having fun. Nobody thinks anything about it. Then what was it? Probably like that Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah,
after,
a couple days later.
Once I say about 90% of our guests had already left and went back home. And then we're out at dinner having some I think it was Italian spot on the resort. And then you just like, I just don't feel well. I can't drink anything.
I was
anything.
Like, I'm going to throw up. That's what I said. I go, I am about to throw up. And I was like, I just declare it. So like, I'm about to throw up right now.
I was like, let's go. I said, okay, all right, let's just get you back to the room. I'll go get some ginger ale. You know, you go lay up. We'll be fine. We'll pack up. We go home in the morning. And then it continued. And the next day when I'm while we're on the plane going back, I said, babe.
No, you didn't say it on the plane. You probably thought it. You didn't say
I was definitely thinking about it on the plane. I said it when we landed.
Yeah,
we landed, and
we were passing Rite Aid. And you're like, I'm going to stop. I was like, for what? I was so irritable. I was like, what are you stopping?
Like, I don't feel well. I'm tired. I've been traveling all day.
I just want to go home.
I want to go home and just relax. I said, babe, I'm going to pick up a pregnancy test. I just need to make sure because everything is pointing towards you being pregnant. And So let's go pick up these tests real quick.
And I thought he was nuts. I was like, you're being really crazy right now.
I was like, yeah, she really thought I was out of my mind. I said, all right, fine. If I'm out of my mind, let's go take the test because you got to pee anyway. So let's go take the test and we'll see. And we just sat there and looked at it.
For like 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes.
And actually, we didn't even need to wait 3 minutes. It was like a minute and a half.
It's like about 45 seconds after. It was like, bing. Pregnant. We just had this look at each other's face, just like like a very happy surprise. Like,
that was like the one. And I was like, give me the other one.
Give me the other one. Pregnant.
Then went
to the store the next day and got three more, three different brands, three different styles, like the old school stick with the two lines, got the digital one, and then came back, just like, pregnant. And then she came down, showed all four to me. I'm like, okay, I don't want you. I was like, I know, I get it.
You're like, I told you.
I told you that you're pregnant.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that was like a shock of all shockers. And I mean, we were literally married for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We found out we were pregnant, but you know, it was such a happy surprise and we were so excited. About Donovan, who is now almost 5 years old.
Yes.
He is the center of our entire world. And, you know, he just came along like so quickly. But that's kind of, you know, Donovan, that's him. He's like, he just like pops up. He shows up. That's his personality. And that was, you know, a really easy pregnancy. The biggest concern I had that entire pregnancy was I got a sinus. I was super tired first trimester.
Right.
Totally normal.
Yep.
Second trimester, I got a sinus infection that was like the most stubborn sinus infection and it would not go away.
And you couldn't take any
medicine. I couldn't take anything. And then third trimester, I was once again tired. And I got terrible sciatica. So like I just couldn't sleep anymore. But all of these things are fairly normal and standard for pregnancy. I didn't have any challenges. There was no concerns about anything. And it was a really easy pregnancy. So, you know, it kind of had gotten my mind around like, oh, like I'm not going to have any issues being pregnant. Like the surgery took care of everything. I'm fine. I'm like, totally fine.
Right. And the crazy thing about it was that it, once again, they had sent me out on the road, and I remember this as a father, and every father can definitely relate to what I'm going to say. I had just come back from Kentucky, and the good thing about the Kentucky trip was that I got to see, you know, a different part of America, and also it helped me to develop a really good habit in terms of a coping mechanism, or just, you know, after dinner drink. No pun intended. So, yeah, that's when I kind of fell in love with bourbon, going to Kentucky for a month. But the thing I remember most about that trip was whenever I would come home, and of course, my flight wouldn't get in until about 10, 11 o'clock at night. Tammy couldn't sleep because of her sciatica. So a lot of nights she was waiting up for me. And I remember I would come home and I would put my hand on her stomach. And I'd say, "Hey, little one." And Donovan would immediately wake up and just start having fun and
kicking crazy
and doing all kinds of things in her stomach. And I think there was like one time where I almost cried. I was just like, man, that's when it came like extremely real to me that like there's a life that Tammy and I created in her stomach. And this baby responds when it hears my voice. So it was just one of those things where it just like, wow. And I think I just sat there for like 20 minutes, just speechless, just all those different things. And I think the thing that was hard for me, especially when you got to third trimester, was the project that I was on at the time. And I had already put a lot of pressure on myself at work and everything, and then still trying to still be 100% visible there. I went to all the appointments, regardless of when they were, and I just made sure that I was always available. Then that became an issue at work. I mean, I won't go into too many details, but it definitely became an issue with me and the leader that I was working under at the time. But for me, I didn't care. I was like, at the end of the day, this is my first child. This is my child that I created. I'm not going to, you know, check out just because you need me to be somewhere at a specific time and need to see my face to have a call. That's not going to happen. That's not how I'm going to operate. That's not the professional I'm going to be. That's not the father I'm going to be. So if you are that father, more power to you. But for me, I'm not going to be that father, because at the end of the day, jobs come and go, money comes and goes, but your child, you only get, you know, one firstborn. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to miss an appointment. I wasn't going to get hearsay on what I needed to do to make sure that I was the right father and supporting my wife through this. And on top of that, I also was studying for the PMP, got my PMP certification. And then that was when I got the call to turn what was at the time a podcast into it's like all this stuff was just happening. But regardless of that, my number one priority was always my wife and my kid. And I always kept it in that perspective, especially all the way up until the day when Donovan got here. But I'll let you tell it, because Donovan, why'd you try to come so early, man?
Yeah. So I had a planned C-section because of obviously my history. And so to make sure that I did not go into labor, they wanted me to do it at 37 or 38 weeks, which at that time, that's typically when a baby's full term. Obviously, they'd like the baby to go full, but it was just safer for me and the baby. So they had picked the date, July 15th, right? Mm-hmm. And so we said, that's the date. We're ready to go. Here's the time. And you think, okay, we're doing a planned C-section.
Oh, wait a minute. Before you go any further, I would like to apologize to my wife for picking a time so late in the day, because I did not realize that you have to fast and can't take in any food or any water before the surgery. So I apologize for saying, yeah, let's do it at noon. I was like, no, we should have did that thing at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
I was hungry.
Yeah.
I was really hungry.
You were hangry. But then by the time you got really hangry, they had put the drugs in you.
Yeah, so I didn't know what was happening anyway.
Yeah.
But So you, anyone who's had surgery before knows you have to go in the day before, so you get all your blood work and all of that. And then if you're having a C-section, they want to like do the fetal, all the stuff to check on the heart rate and all of that. So I go in the day before to do all of that, and they're checking on me. And then the nurse is like, oh, and I'm like, what's the, oh, she goes, I'm looking at your graph. Cause you know, they do the, I forget what it's called. The fetal echocardiogram, I think is what it is.
Like the EKG.
And they're checking like the baby's heart rate, and they're checking my heart rate. And something in one of those is basically saying that they think I'm going into labor. And everyone's like, what the hell? Like, I'm not supposed to be going into labor at all. That was the whole point of the early C-section. And they're like, we're going to watch it for about 15 minutes and see what happens. So they watch it for 15 minutes and they're like, we're definitely getting signs that you might be going into labor. And they're like, okay, you're going to have to stay here for another 4 hours. and then if we still feel concerned about it, then we're going to have to do this today. Right? So anybody who has had a kid, naturally, obviously you have the bag by the door probably 2 to 3 weeks before, but anyone who's had a C-section, especially a planned C-section, you are like scheduled, right? So you're not thinking about any of that. My bag was at home, and John Hopkins, by the way, was not exactly close to our house. It was about an hour away. So I went by myself to do this. We had gotten a hotel room because we knew we were going to be in the hospital for 4 days, because my mom was in town. So Rich and my mom were going to interchange coming to the hospital with me and the baby, but none of that was happening till like the next day. Like I was just driving up to get my blood work done and I was going back. So I have to call my mom and Rich, and I'm like, well, they think this baby may come today. I have my bag at home, but it's like not fully ready.
I think your mom was with you.
Was my mom? No, I don't think she was. Oh, she was. Yeah.
Yeah, your mom was.
My mom didn't
you.
Want me to drive by myself. No. Yeah. And so I was like, hey, Rich, you got to get my. Yeah. That was the funny part.
Yeah. Because I get that phone call. I'm just sitting there just watching TV. Everything's like, okay, wait for her to come back. There's going to be traffic. So I know she's not going to come back for a few hours. And then I get the phone call. Babe, they think I might be going to the labor. So they might have to do. I said, okay, well, just let me know. And I'm like, well, can you get my bag together? And then. The bag was not fully packed. The bag was in the bedroom, but it wasn't full.
No, it wasn't.
So it had certain things in it, but didn't have her clothes. So I had to go and remember.
I was like, you gotta get this, you gotta get that.
Like, I need to get that, I need to get that. That's in the second drawer inside the closet, and go get this. And then upstairs in the closet, upstairs in the guest room is this. I said, okay. So I'm trying to get everything together. I'm trying to keep it together the entire time.
You got to get a bag for yourself. You got to get my mom's bag.
Yep. I had to pack a bag for her, my wife, my mother-in-law, and myself in a matter of 30 minutes. So your mom goes, well, just bring my entire bag. Just bring the whole bag.
Yeah, she's like, just bring the whole bag.
Just bring the whole bag and put everything in it. Put my toiletries
in it. She's like, just put everything back in the bag.
Put everything back in the bag. She had just got in like the day before.
Yeah, she was like, it's fine. Just bring the whole bag.
So I just brought the whole bag and I'm headed up there. I'm calling my mom. I was like, what's going on? I was like, Tammy's showing signs of already having contractions. The baby might come today. Oh my gosh. What's the name? I said, we can't wait another day. I've been waiting all this time. I know y'all got a name. Tell me the name. So I gave her the name Donovan Lewis Owens. Oh, that's a really nice name. Okay.
You didn't tell me you gave her the name.
Yeah. Yeah. The day before, I was like, Mom, just don't. You better not say nothing to Nazy. You better not say nothing to Connor. You better not say nothing to Jules. Like, they're going to find out from me tomorrow. So right. Don't say anything. Can you hold this for 24 hours? Yes, I can hold it for 24 hours.
So, oh, man.
So I'm headed up there. I'm driving up there almost like she's in labor. I'm like, man, okay, going up BW Parkway, trying to just get there in time. Then she gets there like, oh, no, I'm fine. Let's go to Uno's. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they basically the baby gave me like false contractions for about 2 hours. And then it just stopped. But they were like, we do want you close because that was weird. Yeah.
And thank God for hotel points. So yeah. I was able to take the reservation that I already had and just extended it.
Yeah.
There.
So it was, So yeah, so the next day we go in, we have the scheduled C-section, and you know, it was for all the hullabaloo, it was like 20 minutes. It was like 25 minutes. It's so fast.
Yeah, and I think I cried just as much as Donovan did. Tammy was just so...
I was so high.
You were so high. You was high as the sky.
Yeah. And they gave me... so epidurals, here's one thing about C-sections. You think epidural is only for when you're delivering naturally, but that's what they do as well for a C-section. But it's such a precise science. And it's like they can give you a little too much, or they can give you... It's almost apparently very hard to give you like the exact amount. And they gave me a little too much. So I was like, I was like high as a kite for like the next 9 hours, which is fine. I mean, you didn't feel anything.
I felt nothing.
I felt nothing.
And the whole time I'm just looking at all of the vitals on the screen and everything. And because of a situation with my family the year prior, I was very familiar with what those things look like. So I'm looking at certain things going down, the blood pressure going up and down. Then they got really low. I was like, Doc, is everything okay? Her pressure is like at 70 over 40. And Doc was like, no, she's fine. She's fine. That's typically happens. She's just relaxed. Then you looked at me and like, baby, I'm fine. Don't worry.
I don't even remember. Okay. I was so high.
I'm okay. I said, nah, you gotta be okay. I was like, you gotta be okay. Yes, you have to be okay. So and then when the baby comes out, I'm just like, Donovan screaming to the top of his lung.
And then he peed on the nurse.
Then he peed on the nurse. And I'm screaming and I'm just like, my first party's here. I hear him. Oh my God. I sound just like him. All right. Oh my God. I'm a father. Oh my God. Oh my God.
And yeah, it was wild. I mean, it was a C-section is a very interesting experience because it doesn't hurt. It just feels like so weird. Until this day, I can't even really explain it. It feels like because they have to apply pressure to essentially like pop the baby out, if that makes sense. Hey. So the pressure feels like a big fat man is sitting on your chest.
I was going to say that. Glad you said
it. It feels like a big fat man is sitting on your chest and it's just like, why is there so much pressure? And then it's like, bloop. That's kind of how it feels.
It's like,
and you're like, okay, that was weird.
Yeah. So, and it was interesting, just that whole thing of dealing with Donovan and the beginnings of fatherhood and, you know, only sleeping for 30 minutes at a time for the first week or so. Then it became an hour, then it became 2 hours over time. And just the reward of having to be a father to Don. And then, of course, we moved to Atlanta and just the challenges there. But, you know, we won't go too much into that.
So what do you think for as a father, what was your biggest nerve? Like before having him, what was your biggest like thing that you thought you were going to be the most scared about with the newborn? And then after he was born, what was like the thing that sort of like scared you the most about having a newborn?
I'm going to be honest. The thing that scared me the most is falling asleep with the baby in the arms and actually falling out or accidentally not holding his neck or just any of those things where you're just like this.
Before or after?
Both.
Okay.
Definitely both.
Okay.
Because I'm sure if you were to find pictures of me and holding down, I'm holding down like a football.
Yeah.
Just like, no, don't go anywhere. Okay. Try to get to sleep. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Let's go up. And that was my biggest fear was just that I was going to do something. I mean, there was one time where, it was dark and I couldn't see and I misjudged the door and hit Don's head on like the doorway. And I was sitting like this. I was like, please, Tammy. And then Don let out the thing where he didn't cry for like 10 seconds. You know, you get pop real hard when you're a child and you can't get the cry out for like 10 seconds. It was like, ah. I said, close this door. All right, come on, Don. I was like, oh, it's okay. here, here's a pacifier. Here's a bottle. Something.
Just I'm finding out all kind of stuff on this. I think for me, but prior to having him, my concern was that I wouldn't wake up when he was crying. Because anybody who knows me, and my brother keeps joking to this day, I sleep hard. And so
super hard.
And so I was really scared that like my mothering instincts wouldn't kick in and I wouldn't wake up when he was like crying or in distress. That was my biggest concern. But they did. Now, like even now when he comes into our room in the middle of the night, I hear him 90% of the time. So I definitely, that changed. But then my biggest fear post him being born was SIDS. I was so scared of sudden infant death syndrome. Like it was almost like a paralyzing fear. That's kind of the reason why we co-slept, because I would wake up and I think more so than him crying, I would reach over and put my hand on his chest to see that he was still breathing. And I would do it all the time. All of the time, for like if he was sleeping for more than 10 or 20 minutes, I would do it. It was so paralyzing to me. And then, you know, it seemed like a really not unrealistic, but like almost like a not realized fear. And then I had a mom in my mommy group whose son was the exact same age as Donovan, whose son died at daycare of SIDS.
But like 6 months old or something like
that? He was the same age, like 4 or 5 months old. Yeah. She went to daycare, picked him up, and he passed away. And it was, it must have happened in his sleep, because the daycare workers had them sleeping in the cribs. You know, it wasn't anything like he covered his face or anything. So that was my biggest fear. And so with this baby, I'm trying to, I want to let that go, because that was almost paralyzing to the point where I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's, you know, trust yet verify. Right. So, you know, the concern is still there, but it just won't be a paralyzing concern.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll get what we need to get to make sure that we can, you know, kind of zone on that concern and not be, right. you know, all, you know, like have full coverage on it. But yeah, it's, and those are just some of the things we thought about all the time. But we're here now, and then Donovan just still, we were able to get him through his first years, his couple of years, you know, once we moved to Atlanta. And then once we moved to Atlanta, we said, okay, you know what? We want another one.
Yeah. And, you know, that's we'll talk a little bit more about that after the break.